My name is Lily, and I've had hidradenitis suppurativa, HS, for years. I finally found some relief since taking Cosentyx. Relief means I can show up more.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe hidradenitis suppurativa, HS. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your dermatologist about Cosentyx.
NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Can art be good for you? According to some research, the answer is yes, as it can provide some meaning to life. Dr. Claire Howlin is Assistant Professor of Psychology at Trinity College. Afternoon, Claire.
Hi, John. How are you? Nice to be on.
So could you kind of run through us how you go about establishing if art is good for people?
Well, it takes an awful lot of time, is the first thing. So the research that we've done has actually been a review of 38 papers where they had data from 6,800 participants in total. So the best way of going about this is you ask people about their health and well-being before they look at the art, and you ask them about it again afterwards, and then you measure if there's a change in any of their health outcomes.
Right. Okay. So it would be all self-reported rather than there's kind of some sort of independent way of studying this.
Well, you could do independent measures. There'd be no real reason not to do that. Of course, as well, it's important to remember that mental health is always a self-report measure. So when you're asking people about pain, that's always a subjective measure. So cancer pain, it's always up to a person to report on that. Older adults' mental health, their depression, anxiety, that will always be a self-report. There are no objective rulers or thermometers that will tell you about a person's mental health. But of course, you can do physical outcomes as well. You could do like sit to stand, any kind of health outcome that you do in any other place, or physiological measures or cognitive testing. But the reality is that a lot of those kinds of more objective or medical or physiological measures don't happen as much in our settings, because it's quite an under-researched area compared to some of the other areas like pharmaceutical or medical approaches that have a really healthy pharmaceutical industry behind them to fund that research. But in the arts, there's just not as much funding to look at these things.
And so from your analysis of all these studies, is there a minimum requirement? How much art do you need before you start to feel better?
Well, that's going to depend from person to person. So for complex behavioural interventions in general, we do see actual brain and structural changes after about 12 weeks of exposure. So if you wanted to have a really like lasting impact, you'd need to be doing this quite regularly. But a lot of people will actually express an improvement in their well-being just after a few sessions or a few visits to an art gallery or a museum. But it will kind of depend on the person and the context. And what we did find, though, is that quite a broad range of art can be used, abstract art, contemporary, classical. It didn't actually matter what the art was. And what was much more important was how people psychologically engaged with it, how meaningful they found it, and whether they enjoyed it or if it was important to them.
Yeah. And so and were the results on that in the sense of people saying it does make me feel better and here's the reason why?
Yeah. So across the 38 studies, so imagine this is like nearly 7,000 different people and participants. And we've looked at lots of different well-being outcomes and health. So anxiety, depression, well-being. And generally, yeah, people just do this very standardised questionnaire and it'll give them a well-being score. And then they're asked the exact same questions again at the end and it gives them another score. So it's a psychometrically validated measure. And we're finding that there are small but consistent effects coming through. So it might not be a complete groundbreaking moment that people will experience, but they will get like a small a consistent benefit from engaging in this. That's assuming they like art. I just have to put that out there.
Yes.
If you hate it or if you find it very boring, it's not going to help you.
But there's not a reason given rather than just I like art or you know, it's made me feel better because I like pictures or it's made me view life differently to some degree.
Yeah, the type of well-being that tends to impact the most is eudaimonic well-being, which is kind of the questions capture people getting a greater meaning and purpose in their life. So the kind of report that looking at it, reflecting on it can kind of help them put structure on some of their more abstract and complicated emotions and feelings. It can help them kind of build perspective and gain new insights or new ideas and kind of helps them feel a little bit more connected in the world. And another thing it can be really good for is promoting people's identity. So lots of different people these days, we know identity, politics, but identity culture is really important. Lots of different types of people in the postmodernist world. And we need to make sure that they can all find ways to feel validated and accepted and welcomed. So that can help to kind of give people a sense of purpose and meaning and grounding and validation.
Do the various studies take class into account? Because I would imagine that certain people who might have, you know, have never been in an art gallery before might find it intimidating and not really understand what the hell's going on.
Yeah, well, socioeconomic status would be what we'd kind of look at. And a lot of the work that this happens in is usually done under the umbrella of community art. So these are artists that are specialised in bringing people into art galleries that wouldn't typically go there. So they might actually recruit people from a hospital setting and go into a hospital and say, OK, I'm going to bring lots of cancer patients or chronic pain patients or dementia patients out for a trip, out to an art gallery, bring them along and get them involved. So it definitely can cut right across socioeconomic status.
Yeah,
But you're right in that it does need to still be accessible. So we know things like the way that art is presented, opening hours. We know that if things are made for free, that people actually appreciate them less. So when you give people free tickets or free access, they actually report a decreased enjoyment and decreased engagement with them. So it is important that people actually do kind of commit to it when they're engaging with it and that they do kind of appreciate it and recognise it. Whereas when you get people to pay for something, they tend to actually value it more.
Does it apply to all sorts of art? By which I mean, you know, sculpture, paintings, installations.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, we have found exactly that. We found sculpture installations, online art, virtual reality mediated art, paintings, cultural artifacts, all sorts of things. And art in hospital spaces, clinical settings, at home, in galleries, museums. All sorts of types of art and settings. Yeah, there was kind of a lot of flexibility into how people could engage with it, which is one of the benefits now with technology is more people can have access to these types of institutions that might have been, even for geographical reasons, very difficult to access for some people.
Yeah, and this is even in a scenario where at least some of the artworks might be dealing with rather dark themes.
Well, that's the truth. Yes, sometimes art can deal with lots of different things, and that can be a good thing. If people have dark or complex emotions, it can actually be quite validating to see somebody else express that or being given the opportunity to connect with that in your everyday life rather than feeling you need to pretend you don't have those feelings or you feel like you might want to suppress them. So there's really no such thing as a bad emotion, is what we'd say in psychology. But you do need to find healthy ways to express those emotions and feel them, in a suitable kind of place. Like, you know, rather than, I don't know, letting them kind of build up over time and it might turn into something more insidious, like depression or really bad stress. If you were just to take nice leisure activities like going to an art gallery more seriously, build it into your routine more actively and regularly, it could help to dissipate and regulate your emotion in a very healthy way. So we would see like art attendance or cultural engagement as a healthy coping behaviour. And this is something the HSC are actually looking into developing social prescribing practices so that GPs could actually be helping and encouraging people to engage in the arts and leisure activities in this way to support them over a longer term.
And could we infer then that if consuming art is good for your mental health, for some people who might want to do it, is producing art good for your mental health?
It can be. again, it can be. If people like to make art, if that's what their preferred way to engage with it is. So some people like viewing at it. They might actually feel self-conscious about making it. Some people love getting stuck in and they want to have that tactile experience and really, really express themselves in a different way. So, yeah, there's good evidence when you look at art therapy where people are really making art with war veterans, for example, and they tend to like working through art, express some of their trauma in a way that's quite gentle. And it can, you know, help to make sure that they don't get re-traumatized. So that would be done with a specific arts professional, arts therapist. They're like registered. But there's a lot of evidence to say that making it in groups as well with people can have really good social benefits. So we did some evaluations in the UK last year where we had people doing all sorts of activities, theatre, singing, making gnomes and crafting and making radio programmes even. And those older adults all reported better wellbeing benefits after 6 months. But a big part of that was that they said that they felt really connected to the group and really connected a really strong identity with that arts group and with the other older adults.
Claire, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That was Dr. Claire Howland there, Assistant Professor of Psychology at Trinity College. One texter wonders, would a doctor ever tell a person to go and visit a gallery in the same way that we'd be told to get out and go for a walk? I don't know if doctors would routinely do that. I don't know how many patients might think, is that it? Suppose if art is good for you, says somebody else, then what's the point of it? I'm sure artists don't create their work with the only aim of it looking nice. No, I don't think so. But I think that, as Claire was saying, people are going along and engaging with the art and, you know, and getting something from it, understanding what it's about, it doesn't have to necessarily be a nice, in inverted commas, piece of work. It can be something about something quite dark. But in general, that is good for their mental health. Someone else says, I don't particularly like looking at art, but I do like painting my own things. I prefer the doing rather than the watching or gazing. I always feel if you go to an art gallery and stop and look at a painting and then don't know what to do, so wait a minute and then move on. I had time off between jobs, says this texter, and found that during the week, when nobody was around to do anything with me, I wandered around art galleries in Dublin. There are so many at our fingertips and a lot are free, which makes a difference when you're not working. Well, indeed. And it is, you know, one of the one thing about our capital city that we can be proud of, that so many of such places and museums don't charge, unlike many other parts of the world.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
My name is Lily, and I've had hidradenitis suppurativa, HS, for years. I finally found some relief since taking Cosentyx. Relief means I can show up more.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe hidradenitis suppurativa, HS. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your dermatologist about Cosentyx.